I regret to tell you that I am a collector of trivia. I can tell you all kinds of interesting facts about things you care nothing about. And quite candidly, the things I care nothing about, except that I like to collect these little interesting facts. One of the things I have in collecting this stuff and just looking at it is that I'm on an email series that every day they send me something that's some trivia. Today I found out, and it'll say what it is and different types of things. And one of the things is they gave you, at the first of the year, they gave you a calendar that told you what was celebrated and what you should be doing during the year. For example, there is a whole week that is devoted to being National Pickle Week. I can give you the dates if you want. There's a week that's National Pancake Week, National Pickled Peppers Week. By the way, Deming, New Mexico is the pepper capital of the United States, in case you want to write that down. There's a week for National Split Pea Soup Week, Clown Week, Carpenter Ants Week. I've had to pay to get carpenter ants off my deck, and now there's a week devoted to them. There's not a week devoted to me, but a week devoted to the ants that are destroying my deck. There's a week devoted to aardvarks, egg salad, and jelly beans. Well, I can see the jelly beans. I understand that. There is a month, March, for example, is National Peanut Butter Month. Interestingly, it's also National Reading Month. I don't know how you can read with peanut butter in your mouth, but January is National Oatmeal Month. September is National Chicken Month. It was lobbied by Tyson to get that to happen. But there's only one day put aside from others. And if ever there was a job that is 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it is mothers. And they get one day. I think as much as any man tries to understand women, females, and fails miserably at it. Let's face it, guys, we don't succeed very well. I find that I have to read women authors in order to understand women better. And I so appreciate, in this day and age, where if you go out and buy books, there is any number of books by women authors that are excellent and give a real insight into the female of the species. For guys like me, I need that because, you know, I don't pick this up on my own, and to be able to read it is really helpful. The first book I ever read that I remember by a woman was Irma Bombeck, and it was not exactly a heavy read because she's known for her humor. She wrote this article entitled Giving Birth, and I want to just read it. It's only about four or five paragraphs, and I want to read it to you. For the first 4 or 5 years after I had children, I considered motherhood to be a temporary condition, not a calling. It was just a time in my life that I was setting aside to be exhausted and to be awake for long hours. It would pass, and it would soon be over. Then one afternoon, with three kids in tow, I came out of the supermarket, pushing a cart with all four wheels that went in different directions. And my toddler son got away from me. Just outside the door, he ran toward a machine holding bubble gums in a big glass dome. You've seen those bubble gum machines. In a voice that shattered glass, he shouted, "Gimme, gimme, gimme, gimme!" And I told him that I would gimme what for if he didn't stop shouting and get in the car. And as I physically tried to pry his body away from the bubble gum machine, he pulled the entire thing over. The glass and the balls of the bubble gum went all over the parking lot, under cars, and down the road. We had attracted a crowd. Now, a perfect TV mother would have brushed away his tears, granted him absolution on the spot, I was not a perfect TV mother. I told him that he would never see another cartoon for as long as he lived, and if he didn't control his temper, he was going to be making license plates for the state of Ohio. He tried to stifle his sobs as he looked around at all the staring crowd who had their eyes focused upon him. Then he did something that I was to remember for the rest of my life. In his helpless quest for comfort, he turned to the only one he trusted his emotions with, me. He threw his arms around my knees and held on for dear life. I had humiliated him, chastised him, and berated him, but I was still all he had. That single incident defined my role. I was a major force in this child's life. Sometimes we forget how important stability is to a child. I've always told my friends, the easiest part of being a mother is giving birth. The hardest part is showing up for it every day. It kind of says everything that I need to know. And I've come to appreciate mothers so much more since reading this years and years ago. My wife would tell you that she has survived this experience, and she says just barely survived this experience, by having a sense of humor. She laughs at situations now rather than crying at them. And she says the biggest myth that women are given is that they will have control over their family. It's nothing like control. All you can have is a sense of humor to laugh at it and move on. One of the things that you learn when you're in doing any type of psychological counseling, psychotherapy, is just to say back to the person who's talking to you what they said and let them hear it out loud. There's this one story about the psychiatrist who was talking to this mother, and he said, okay, let me see if I understand here. We've got to get to the root of the problem. You say you give 50% of your energy to your job, 50% to your children, and 50% to your husband. I think I see your problem. And that's the story in this day and age, unfortunately, about motherhood. Motherhood is a time of exhaustion, and it never ends. Yesterday morning, I met at a funeral home with a woman and her mother. The mother was 94 years old, and she came in to arrange the funerals for her two sons, ages 70 and 71, who live respectively in Minnesota and Wisconsin. They're from Battle Creek. We are burying them. They died within 1 week of each other, and she has to bury her adult children. And she, strong woman, very opinionated, and was absolutely a rock until I said, well, tell me about Bill and Rick. And she said, it's a terrible thing to bury your children. And she went on with the story. It never ends. Back in the 80s, when the AIDS epidemic was ravaging our country, there's the story about the man who was literally alienated from everybody because they were so afraid of contracting AIDS. And he was dying, and everybody had deserted him. His father, his brothers and sisters, his friends, but his mother was there. And he says, I close my eyes, and I know that if I wake up, I am going to wake up in the arms of my mother, for she will never desert me. when Eugene Peterson was writing his transliteration of the Bible and he got to 1 Corinthians 13, he wrote a few of those verses this way. Love never gives up. Love cares for others more than for ourselves. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head. It doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. And doesn't revel in others when others grovel. It takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. It puts up with anything. It trusts God always. It always looks for the best. It never looks back, but keeps going to the end. I want to close just by telling something from my own personal life, that when Susan and I got married, we'd been married for several years, and Susan had had miscarriages and wasn't able to carry full term. And we had, in the process, applied for adoption. And finally, the social service agencies in Michigan contacted us, and they said, we have a little girl we'd like to place in your home. You'll be a foster parent for a year, and then if everything goes well, you'll adopt her after the year. And, okay, fine. And everybody's happy, except I'm scared to death. And I went to talk to my mentor, Sam Lovelace, in Indianapolis, and drove down there and sit and talk to Sam about all kinds of things. And Sam, being a very wise man, said, so why are you really here? And I told him that I had concerns about adopting a child. Am I ready to be a father? Was Susan ready to be a mother? I mean, it's one thing to be excited about a pregnancy. It's another about having a family. It's another to see the pregnancy is going to happen and or the adoption is going to take place. And then we get face to face with reality. And he says, can I give you a piece of advice? And I'm like, yes, give me a piece of advice. And he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to sit down and write a list of all of Susan's attributes, all of her characteristics, all of the things that the qualities and the habits and the talents and all the things about her that you just think are just marvelous. And I said, there's many. He said, come up with 30. So I can come up with more. He said, 30's fine. And then I want you to, every day for a month, I want you to compliment your wife on one of those attributes, one of those characteristics, one of those talents, one of those habits, in front of your children. It has been the most transforming piece of advice I've ever gotten. To tell your wife you love her and why, and to do it in front of your children. It has been a renewing experience for our family. And long after Sam Lovelace has been dead and buried, he died at the age of 94 in 1994, I told the story at his funeral, and his wife was there, and she was looking at me, tears running down her face, and she was nodding, because Sam had done that to her every day for as long as they were married, 72 years. Our mothers, our wives, our daughters-in-law, and our daughters who are our mothers, they need to know how much they are valued. Now, they'll be the last ones to ask for it, but they need to know their worth. And it needs more than just a day devoted to them, or a week, or even National Peanut Butter Month. It needs to be a transforming element of your life and the lives of others. Pray with me, would you? Father God, give us, we pray, the wisdom to demonstrate our love. Give us, we pray, the vocabulary to say the words that can warm the heart of our wives, our children, and our mothers. Give us, we pray, the courage to keep loving our children, our wives, our mothers, our family, when we do not feel energetic enough to do so. Because our mothers, our wives, never lose their energy. We should never lose ours. Bless us men on this Mother's Day that we can properly give love to those who are mothers. In Jesus' name, amen.